Hey, friend. Well, today I have a special treat for you. We have been talking about the Connected Bible Community, and so I wondered if you would like to hear a little sneak peek inside of what our weekly teaching sessions are like. So I am including today a recorded audio of one of our recent teaching sessions inside the Connected Bible Community, so you can hear what it's like when we get together to share and to talk about that week's verses. So I hope this encourages you and gives you some inspiration about what it could be like to be inside our community. So let's get started and learn together. Welcome to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle, Bible teacher and life coach, and I help Christian women like you rediscover joy and find balance through a renewed mind and a life-changing connection with Christ. Friend, I am so glad that you are here. So find a cozy spot and let's get started on today's episode. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle, and I am so glad to be here with you today. As you may have heard, we have been talking about the Connected Bible Community and about spiritual growth and overcoming spiritual growth obstacles the past few weeks. And I wanted to give you a special treat today because I know that some of you have asked, well, what is it like inside the Connected Bible Community? We have shown you some snippets of what the magazine is like every month, the Bible study magazine that we give all of our connectors inside the community. And if you missed that episode, you can go to episode 100 and hear more about what the inside of the magazine looks like. But I wanted to also share with you what it's like to be part of our teaching sessions. Now, I have to say, the teaching session that we do, there are two different kinds. The first kind is that we do a live teaching session on Zoom where we literally are on a Zoom call together, we go through the verses, and we're responding back and forth. There's 2 weeks where there's that, the first and the third, and then the second and the fourth weeks we have a recorded session. And in the recorded session is what you'll hear today, this kind of a session. And this is where I am going through the week and sharing my insights, sharing some additional Bible verses, sharing some additional resources that can be helpful. And so that's what we're sharing today. Now, because of privacy laws, I can't, and I didn't really want to anyway, share the recorded sessions that involve some of our members. But what I wanted to be able to share with you is this session where it is a recorded session that I do by myself that the members can listen to at the end of the week and their own time. So this is what I'm sharing today. It is from the most recent month that we've been going through called I Am His Daughter. And this is when we have been studying the different characteristics of God himself, the 16 Hebrew names that God has given himself, plus four or five other names that we learn about through scripture about who God is. And the week that I am going to share with you is from week two of this study. This subtitle of this week is God is our holy provider and protector. So all of the verses will relate to names of God that relate to this concept of him being our provider and protector. So I hope you enjoy it. I hope it's just, if nothing else, a really fun chance to learn more about God as our provider and protector and a great chance to dig into God's word. So let's go ahead. I'm going to play that recording now. Hello, everyone. How has your week been? I am so glad to be here with you today and to be sharing with you about week two for I Am His Daughter, which is, of course, our monthly topic for Connected Bible Community this month. And I hope you've been enjoying this week. This week was all about God as provider and the one who gives us all that we need in every season. And you personally know that I'm walking through this season of unemployment and just really, really trusting God in new ways, not just financially and in terms of physical provision, but emotional provision and feeling like, God, what is your plan for us? Where do you want us to go? Are we moving? All of these questions are there that we are continually having to give to the Lord and ask for his provision. So you'll hear some of that as I work through what I gleaned from this week's study. But I just wanted to say again that I am praying for you. I am praying for all that you have learned this week and praying that what I share now will just be an added infusement of the Holy Spirit to what you are going through and be an added encouragement for you. So as you can probably see here on video, I have my glasses on today, which is really weird because I have been dealing with my contacts all week. And I got new contacts a few days ago and they worked well for a couple of days, but I don't know if you've ever gone through that where you get a new prescription and then it just isn't working. And so today when I put them on, like I literally couldn't see anything. And I thought, you know what? Even though when I wear my contacts or when I wear my glasses on video with the selfie light, you know, I have these lovely little rings in my eyes. So please ignore that as you're watching this video. All that's to say, I'm glad you're here and let's go ahead and pray and get started with our teaching time today. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for the honor and the privilege of being your daughter. Father, just that in itself is huge. Thank you, Lord, that we get to know you. We get to walk with you. Lord, that you are our banner. You're our provider. You're the Alpha, the Omega. You're the only one that we need to look to. You are the source of our security, of our hope, of our identity. God, you are so loving and so caring for us. And you are jealous for us because you know that when we walk close to you, it really does give us the full, vibrant life that we are looking for. And it is your heart's desire to walk close to us and to know us deeply. Today, Lord, will you please speak through me, speak through these verses, help these women to know more about you, to grow closer to you, to live in confidence and freedom of who they are as your daughters, and to just know again that they have full security and full confidence in everything that they can do because they are protected by you. They are provided for by you. They are your children. So thank you again for this time, and we love you so much, Father. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get started in day one. Day one starts with this very famous phrase that we hear all the time. If we've been in church, we've heard it before in the story of Moses when God says, I am. He describes himself as I am. And even later on in the Gospels, we see Jesus describing himself as I am, which is an evidence of him saying, I am God. I am not just a man. I am God. So let's read this verse here on day one. It's Exodus 3, verses 13 to 14. And here's what it says in the New Living Translation. It says, but Moses protested, if I go to the people of Israel and tell them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they will ask me, well, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? And God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I love this verse for several reasons. First of all, I love the confidence that God shares in saying, this is who I am. I am the God that is always existed, right? I will be your provider. I will be your sustenance. I will be the one who calls you out of Egypt. Just I'm the one who's always existed, and you don't have to worry about anything more than that. And it's such a unique description of God. Literally, it means I will be what I will be, which is an interesting way for God to describe himself. I know that you have probably heard of or read the Chronicles of Narnia, and I love that line in one of the books where they describe Aslan, who of course is a Christ character, and they describe him as not being a tame lion. That line reminds me of what the scripture is talking about, that God is who he's going to be. He is not something that we can hold in our pocket and try to figure out and try to own or in any way. We can see his character, of course, through the pages of scripture. We're not saying that, but that he is the master of the universe. He is the one to revere and the one who we can't even fully understand or comprehend because he is God and we are not. So we hear that here as that God's confidence in just his own identity and how that gives confidence to Moses. So I really think that God gave Moses this name because it was to give the Israelites confidence that this man, Moses, that was going to do incredible things by the power of God, he is called by God himself. And it's almost this trust and faith building aspect in the provider ability of God to do what he said he's going to do. And again, I love that he's mysterious. He's bigger than anything we could figure out. So this verse is our confidence. I am is in charge of our lives. I am is the one who walks with us. I am is the one who made us and who holds all things together. And so I am gives us the ability to say, I will not fear because I trust him. And that can be hard to trust God in a way that's, you know, especially someone who describes himself as I will be what I will be, which is what it literally means in the Hebrew, because we think, well, what are you? Are you trustworthy? But as you guys know, in this community, the longer we walk with him, the more we see evidence of him, the more we hear how he interacted with others in the Bible, the more how we hear how he interacts in our life, the more we see his goodness, the more we see his character as being for us, not against us, right? So interesting thought to think about. It is a little daunting to think about serving someone who is outside of our understanding, because we think, well, you know, that can be a little scary. But again, that also gives us confidence that he is above all things. And at least that gives me confidence. So, all right, I'm going to move on to day two here. Day two says, God is provider, which is Jehovah Jireh. And this verse that we used here is Genesis 22, verse 14. So Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. So of course, in our community, we don't have the entire verse, the whole story, so to speak, in every day. And sometimes when we read these verses and they're kind of just one verse by itself, you might think, well, what is he talking about? Why would Abraham name this place the Lord will provide? So it might prompt you to want to read the whole story. This is just the highlighted part that relates to our topic. And so I am going to just very quickly glance through that story with you. It's Genesis 22. So let's turn there to Genesis 22 so that we have a better understanding of the context of this. And again, always, if you, especially if you feel stuck or you're not quite sure what the meaning of a verse is, I always encourage you to read a couple verses before, a couple verses after, or even read the whole chapter just to see again, what is this talking about? We never want to take a scripture out of context. We want to make sure we understand it in light of other scriptures and in light of what's going on in the chapter. All right, so this is the story of Abraham's faith being tested and the story of his son, Isaac, and what God asked him to do. So I'm going to kind of skip through the story because I'm pretty sure it's a familiar story to you. But let's start in verse one. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. So do you hear what is happening here? He tells him exactly in the beginning what the purpose of this was, and it was to test his faith. And sometimes God allows us to walk through circumstances where our faith is tested like fire, not to try to torture us, truly, but to see, allow us to see what really is in our heart and allow us to even grow and to be refined in a good way and to move closer to what God would maybe want for us as the gift of a faith that's stronger. So it doesn't mean it's a bad thing that God tests our faith. It's not him not believing in us. It's always for our good and for his glory. And as we see here, that's exactly what happened with Abraham. So sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will show you. So the next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey, took two of his servants with him, along with his son, Isaac. They chopped wood for a fire. So we see this evidence of his faith already. Abraham was like, I mean, we don't know what he was thinking in that moment. In that exact moment, at least, but we can guess he was like, well, God's asking me to do this and he's going to provide in some way, but I'm going to obey. I'm going to just trust God because I know God. And so on the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little farther. We will worship there and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. And this is kind of an interesting moment, right? Can you just hear this conversation like, dad, what's happening, right? He says, we have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? And he says, this is the key verse that talks about the provision that Abraham believed God would give him. Abraham answered, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. He knew that God would provide in some way. And he continued to trust in God's provision until God showed him it would be a different way than what he was expecting, if that makes sense. So I'm not going to go through all of this except to say that Abraham trusted God. He had faith that what God said for him to do was what he needed to do, whether it made sense to him or not, and that God would provide everything he needed, whether that was to bring Isaac back from the dead, whether that was to provide a sheep or a ram in the thicket, as we learned later in the story. God would provide. In verse 12, there is an angel who appears to him to stop Abraham from hurting Isaac, of course. And it says, don't lay a hand on the boy. Don't hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. And so Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. And he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. So because of this provision, we have this name of how God calls himself as the provider. And I think that's an interesting thing to consider is that We want God to provide, and God does provide. We read the story of the Israelites in the desert and how God provided manna for them while they were walking. And in fact, I was just reading that story this morning, how those who, no matter how much they gathered, if they gathered too little or they gathered too much, it was just the right amount for their family size. God provided, God still provides everything. And yet it also takes faith to step out into that provision. And we, like I was saying with us right now, we are trusting God every month for our provision. And we learned, because we had to walk through this journey, a similar journey of unemployment a few years ago for another big corporate layoff that happened. And that's what's happening right now. We learned that God was our provider. It wasn't me providing or my husband providing. It was God as our provider. And so we're learning again that lesson, but again, like in an emotional provision and in a trusting provision, like we're going to obey, we're going to follow you and do as you say when it doesn't make sense, when it does make sense, but we're going to follow you and trust you. That's our goal. And so I pray that that is your heart today as you read that verse, and that you ask yourself this question, am I a person whose goal it is to please God and to obey, or do I get stuck in the worries of the world, and that keeps me from trusting God and letting Him provide in the way that's best for me? If you want some additional encouragement on this topic, Hebrews 11 is an amazing chapter. It's called the Hall of Faith sometimes. All these beautiful saints from the Old Testament who just trusted God in many of those situations did not even see the results of their obedience. They didn't see the fruit of their obedience. They just trusted God. They were looking forward to something greater, as the scripture says in that passage. So I would encourage you, to check that out if this verse is something that you need to learn more about. All right. So let's go on to day three. And day three was one of my favorites as well. Day three is this verse that talks about God as my banner, Jehovah Nisi. And this is Psalm 60, verse 4. So I'm going to read the scripture, and then we're going to actually, I'm going to read verses 1-4. So we get a better picture of it here. And then we're going to talk about what we mean by God being a banner and what is a banner. So let me turn now to Psalm 60. So if you could turn with me there. You have rejected us, O God, and broken our defenses. You have been angry with us. Now restore us to your favor. You have shaken our land and split it open. Seal the cracks, for the land trembles. You've been very hard on us, making us drink wine that sent us reeling. But you have raised a banner for those who fear you, a rallying point in the face of attack. Okay, so I'm going to give a little context to this psalm, because you're thinking, okay, God's angry with us. Like, what's going on? I thought God was a loving God, all of that. If you read in my version here has some notes here about this specific psalm itself. It says it's a psalm of David, useful for teaching regarding the time David fought Aram Naharaim and Arab Zaboah. Apologize if I pronounced that Hebrew name wrong. And Joab returned and killed 12,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. So it's this time when there was some difficulty, right, in terms of their relationship with God. The Israelites are suffering. I wanted to read this whole context because even in times of suffering or a time when God is encouraging us to walk in a different direction, perhaps disciplining us, which again, He always disciplines us for our good. And as a parent, you understand that. If you are a parent, you understand that sometimes we make decisions to help our children learn a specific lesson. We restrict them from things. You know what that's like, right? Because we want them to learn a deeper character trait. And so some of that was happening here. But despite all of that, this verse 4 stands out. But you have raised a banner for those who fear you, a rallying point in the face of attack. So let's talk about what a banner is. A banner is a flag. If you think about a flag that was planted in battle to establish in a battle whose side was whose. This literally to say, let's just use red and green. Okay, this is the red side, and this is the red side's flag, yay. And this is the green side's flag, yay. Okay, so we know who is on what side, and we know where to run to for resources, for help. It's a place to go in times of battle, and a place to go as almost like a refuge, to know this is who we're fighting for, right? And this is where I can go for resources. And so if you think of it like that, especially this word that is used here in my version of Psalm 60, verse 4, the words a rallying point in a face of attack, it's a place where we go to get inspiration, almost like if we were running a marathon and you are really tired and you pass a water station, you stop and you get refueled, you get replenished, and then you keep going. So it's a place for people to gather to see like-minded spirits, right, on that side, and to regain strength to keep going. So I guess I'm saying is I love that this concept is embedded in this story of how God was disciplining them. God was allowing them to, their character be refined to bring them closer back to Him. Through all of that, He didn't abandon us. He still is our banner. He still is the one waving the flag to say, here I am. No matter what happens, I am here. I'm not leaving you. You can come to me. I want to refuel you. I want to replenish you for those who fear Him, right? That's an interesting part of this verse. You have raised a banner for those who fear you. That there are those who don't fear God, who don't want to turn, right? Who don't want to obey. And they're going to miss the blessing of this banner. They're not going to be able to run to this banner because the purpose of the banner is to be a place for those who are willing to obey, those who are willing to follow the things that God has said. And so when I rewrote this verse in Restate, I said, but you, God, have shown a light in the darkness of the battle that those who fear you can run towards. This is our place to gather, to regain strength when we are being attacked. Oh, so I love this verse again, because it reminds me of, I thought of this verse, Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 4, speaking of how His banner over me is love. This protection, this grace is always there. The banner of delight, of abundance. This specific section in Song of Songs is obviously a sexual reference. And so without going on to that whole section, we can see that it speaks of abundance. It speaks of delight. It speaks of pleasure. And that this banner that God gives over us is a refuge. It is a place of abundance, a place to be a shelter from the storm. And when I was responding to this, it made me think of planting a flag. You know, when we plant a flag and we say, this is where I am, there's even that phrase, planting a flag, like I'm going to stay here. I'm not moving from this hill until this battle is won. What in your life right now do you feel like I need to just trust God as my banner in this area? I'm planting a flag and it's not going anywhere. I'm staying here. God is at work. God is at work despite no matter what even when I don't see Him, even when I don't feel Him, God is at work and He's doing things. And it's a symbol to me, and it's a symbol to everyone around me that my God is faithful and that there is love and hope in this situation, no matter what. So gosh, what a great example, the symbol, this banner can be in our hearts, and that God describes Himself as our banner. So again, one of the verses that really spoke to me this week. Let's go on to day four. Day four was one of the trickier verses that we ran into this week, but it's an important verse. It really is. It's one of these names that's important to talk about because first of all, well, God gives Himself that name in the Bible and we want to know it, right? It's not that we're going to just skip the parts that are kind of challenging and difficult to talk about. We want to talk about it, but it tells us again how precious we are to God. So let me read what it is and the scripture that's attached to it. So day four is God is jealous, and it's El Quanah, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23 to 24. Okay, so let's read this verse. It says, so be careful not to break the covenant the Lord your God has made with you. Do not make idols of any shape or form, for the Lord your God has forbidden this. The Lord your God is a devouring fire. He is a jealous heart. Okay, so I am going to read my restate to see if that just was my perspective, just how I restated the verse, because I know when we read words like God is jealous, we think jealousy in terms of it being a negative, bad aspect, a character trait. We think of, well, someone's jealous, that's bad. And although that can be definitely true in light of humans, we know God is perfect. And so we're going to understand more about what He means when He says He's jealous. I'm going to give some analogies for that in a second. But first, here's how I restated it. Carefully guard your heart so that you aren't breaking the special eternal blood connection that God has made with you. Don't worship anything besides God. God is a powerful, jealous God and wants to protect you and your connection in this way because He treasured it. So the best way that we can understand this connection, when He's speaking of the jealousy. He's speaking of the desire that is there between in a covenant between a husband and a wife. So in the way that as a married person, I am not going to be with another man. And if I was, my husband would obviously be jealous. He would be upset. Why would he be upset? Because he's a mean, horrible person? No, because I would have broken that covenant that he and I have made almost 20 years ago, actually. A few weeks from now is our 20th anniversary. I would have broken that covenant. And that is a special covenant that he entered into with me, right? It was a covenant before God. How could I break that? You know, it's a violation against him. And so it's this covenant that God wants to protect. And it's a special covenant. Here's my question. Why would God be jealous about that? This is the thing that he's jealous about, right? He's jealous for us. He's not jealous for trees. He's not jealous for any other animals. He's jealous for us. Think about what the implications of that are. That means that he desires a deep fellowship, a deep connection with us. When that is broken, that grieves his heart. So he's saying this from the standpoint of he can be protective of this relationship that he's given us. So I wanted to go through a few more verses on this to help us understand this a little bit deeper. Nahum chapter 1 says, "The Lord is a jealous God filled with vengeance and rage. He takes revenge on all who oppose him and continues to rage against his enemies." So we're going to talk about that in a minute because you're like, that's interesting. But then it also says right after that, "The Lord is slow to get angry, but his power is great and he never lets the guilty go unpunished. He displays his power in the whirlwind and the storm. The billowing clouds are the dust beneath his feet." So we can never forget that the gentle, loving God that we worship, that lives in our hearts in the Holy Spirit, is also the God that protects his people, that punishes the guilty, that inflicts justice, that rewards those who seek him. He is the God who takes revenge on all who oppose him, as it says in this verse. This is him. He is powerful. And it mentions here, he's slow to get angry. But we have to understand that that is part of his character. We just need to understand that. And that kind of fits into this jealousy, that this is the holy covenant that we're creating in awe before the Lord. And that's why he's protecting us. He's jealous for us. Also, I was going to mention that God is depicted as Israel's husband. He's a jealous God. He's wanting all our praise for himself and no one else. Again, the husband-wife aspect, we wouldn't give our love to other, as women, we wouldn't give our love to other men because if we're married, we give our love to our husband because we are in a covenant with them. And it's that same concept. So when we hear things about God being angry or jealous, we want to understand that he's jealous and angry to keep us in close fellowship with him. I hope that makes sense to you because there's so many verses, which I'm going to read a couple here, that talk about God's character is slow to be angry. He's filled with unfailing love and faithfulness, as it says in Exodus 34:6. He's the God of compassion and mercy. Numbers 14:18 says, "The Lord is slow to anger, filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion." It's a difficult concept to understand fully, but I hope the husband and wife thing kind of helps you cement that in your heart when you read things like, God is jealous. He's jealous for you. He's jealous for me. All right, let's move to our very last verse of this week, day 5. God is Alpha and Omega, and this is found in Revelation 1:17-18. Beautiful, beautiful picture here in the book of Revelation, and this is John sharing what happens when he sees this living one, right? He sees the resurrected Jesus. It says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave.'" This is God. This is the one who is the beginning and the end. As it says, the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. This is the one who is in charge of the hardest thing to be in charge of, which is life itself. You know, we can understand as humans how the world is formed. We can understand how seasons happen. We can understand how trees grow. We can understand how our bodies even function to some extent, but we only can scratch the surface as to all of that knowledge. But even in light of that, in the time that we live in, where we know more about the created world than any other time in history, there still is that peace. We cannot create life. We cannot stop death. We can't, because we're human and we weren't made for that. And that is what God is saying here. He is the living one. He went through that process. He died, Jesus, meaning he died, and he was brought back and is alive forever. He holds the keys of death and the grave. He's the one in charge of it. That gives us such comfort. We know the God who is in charge of the living, when we are born, how we are created, and the time that we will enter into eternity, of all things that ever existed and ever will exist. And this gives me, personally, when I responded to this, gives me comfort about the momentary issues. I don't have to worry or fret. I can trust the one who holds all things in place and who was there from the beginning, and he will be there to the end, right? This is the confidence we have, that God is with us. He has been with us, and he will always be with us. It makes me think of that verse that says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the I am, as we learned about in day one. He is I am. So friends, I hope this has been encouraging to you to go through these verses to help you to know again that our confidence is not in ourselves. Our confidence is not in our own ability to provide or to take care of things, but our confidence in every season is in the great I am himself, the great Alpha and the Omega, the one who is our banner, the one who's jealous for us. This is the one who our confidence is in. Hey, so what did you think? I hope you enjoyed that teaching time. I really enjoy getting into God's Word and sharing every week with the ladies and learning just how real God's Word can be, how powerful it can be, and as we discuss it together, how applicable it is in different situations, different seasons. It's always powerful. It's always giving us great wisdom. And this study this week was especially powerful, like we were talking about, because of the provider aspect. I think a lot of us are challenged with that when every single day we have reason to worry, we have reason to fret, we have reason to be concerned. And God reminds us again and again of who he is, what his character is, that he is our provider. He is the one who takes care of us. I wanted to share this with you again because we are opening up enrollment to the Connected Bible community. And if this resonated with you and you're like, yes, I would love to get this kind of teaching every single week and to be encouraged in this way, to have a community of believers to walk through these sort of topics together on identity, that's totally what I need right now, then please join us. We are going to be opening the community from February 20th through the 26th. And all you have to do to sign up is go to vibrantchristianliving.com/connected. Like I said, I've been telling you all about this community, all about the different things we have, the monthly Bible magazine, the weekly teaching, the Facebook group. We also have, of course, the library of resources to help you overcome the spiritual growth obstacles and to see where you are on the spiritual growth roadmap. All of these great things with our heart's desire to give you everything you need to grow closer to God, to connect with him, to connect with yourself, and to connect with others, because we believe when women connect in these ways, God works through us and transforms us to be the light in this world. So we encourage you, again, if this is something that resonates with you, please join us. We would love to have you in our group. Again, vibrantchristianliving.com/connected. And if you are listening to this and it's not between those times of February 20th through the 26th in 2021, go to that page anyway and see what's available, because you never know. We might be open at this time, or there might be other resources that could be helpful for you in growing in your faith. So I look forward to connecting with you further. Have a great week, friend. I will see you back here for the next episode. Bye-bye for now.